Hey, it's me. Welcome to Jelly. I'm Genevieve Rose, the podcast where I talk about Jesus, life, and entertainment to my dog, who mostly listens. Today, we're going to be talking about a story from my life, or stories. I think it'll be a part one, part two type of deal, just to get you a well-rounded picture for these dating catastrophes that I've had. So I'm so glad that you're here and I get to tell you a story. Please sit down, take a seat, get comfortable, make yourself a drink. Don't if you don't want to. Remember to stay hydrated. I'm here for you. I'm so excited that you're here and I get to tell you a story. I'm just honored to be the voice that blocks out your innermost thoughts so you don't have to deal with those problems and you can just listen to mine. This is a story about, we'll call him David, don't worry, fake names, protecting the innocent as well as the guilty. Let's jump right into it. Are you ready? Are you ready to rock and roll? Okay, this is the backstory. Who's David? Who is this David that Genevieve is talking about? Well, I will tell you. David and I went to the same high school. Not the whole time, according to him, a couple of years. I think he dropped a fact that he was homeschooled for some time. Then at some point, we ended up at the same high school in the same gym class, or not the same class, rather, but the same room, the same hour, different teachers in the same gym. That was the most confusing way I could have worded it. We both had the same gym hour and we had different teachers because we were in different classes. If I remember correctly, I was in the adaptive PE because I have a physical disability, mild cerebral palsy. Thanks for asking. It's just physical. It obviously doesn't affect my ability to communicate. It just has a really, really handy way of getting in the way and annoying the shit out of me. But you know what? I do get great parking. Anyway, David and I, same gym, parallel classes, never met. That happened for a few years. Then, fast forward a few years, we end up at the same wedding. David was there because he knew the bride. They were friends from his childhood. I was there because I had met not only the bride, but the man she married at the same time. I met her, she met him. They would end up getting married. I'm obviously the reason that that wedding happened. Fast forward to the future, I'm celebrating their nuptials with them at that wedding. David is there. We're under the same pavilion for hours. I don't meet him that night. I'm unaware of his presence. Apparently, he brought a friend and didn't have that great of a time. I brought my brother, had a pretty okay time. Everybody thought my brother was my boyfriend, and it was super weird, and I really enjoyed it. Another occurrence where I was parallel to David's life, I guess you could say, like there but not there, still unaware of him, is I used to frequent this Starbucks by where I used to live with my service dog, so I would walk in there. I probably had my fedora on too. I used to wear my fedora a lot back when I had long hair. Now it's short. It's like an undercut. Back when I had long hair, I'd wear the fedora all the time because I love fedoras. I have the chin to do it, you know? So obviously, I capitalized on it. And unbeknownst to me, I was known as the girl with the fedora when his brother would talk to David about me coming into the Starbucks he worked at, which I think is just kind of funny that I also walked in with like a 70-pound dog. But you refer to me as the girl with the fedora first, which I respect. I like that. I'm complimented. I'm flattered by that. Thank you for that moniker. The girl with the fedora. Still, I don't know that David exists. Here's where it kind of ramps up with the backstory here. We knew actually a lot of the same people. It's just that we'd never met. Which is why he probably came up as a suggestion on my Facebook back when I had one. Do you remember that? Are you guys still on Facebook? What's happening over there? I don't know. It's like where people go to put all their feelings. It's turned into a journal or something. So he came up as a mutual request. I sent him a request. He accepted it. Then a day or two later, my car needed an oil change. We went to an auto place that wasn't in my town. It was like the town over. This happened to be the auto place that David worked at. I didn't know that. I probably wasn't even driving the car. I was with my mom that day, and whenever I'm out running errands, I'm just there to get things done. I don't even pay attention, really. Half of it's because I don't care. Half of it is just because, I don't know, I'm just trying to get from A to B, and I'm walking around with my dog, and I know that if you stop me, it's not going to be a, hey, how are you? It's going to be, can I pet your dog? And the answer is usually no, because we're in the middle of something and he's working. So I don't pay attention, really, to my surroundings. I'm aware of them, of course. I'm just really not there to entertain. I'm on this podcast to entertain. So I don't notice David, nor do I notice that he is the one who, he said he held the door for us that day and even talked to my mom and even mentioned that she was eating popcorn, which I feel is something that she would do. So now we've actually run into each other, but I still don't know it. Fast forward to later that night, probably, David realizes the girl with the fedora that was at my work sent me a friend request. Okay, it's too weird. I have to start talking to her. We start messaging about all these almost meetings and that I was even at his work that day. He seems nice. I like this story. I'm into it. I'm a writer. I think this might be going somewhere. It's interesting backstory. It's a little bit of a buildup. It's spanned over years. Huh. How fascinating. Tell me more, David. We start talking about all these people that we both know. I don't think we met for coffee, like actually met each other where we were both aware of it in person until 2020. I do remember it was at a Starbucks, a different one than the one I used to frequent where his brother worked, because David didn't have a car at the time, so he needed to meet somewhere that was walkable distance. I think he'd gotten into a car accident or something. Well, I drove to him. I'm sure I wore the fedora just because now, how could I not? It just lines up perfectly with the storyline. I'm excited. I don't think I expected anything crazy from it. I just thought it would be interesting that I know this person without knowing them, and now I'm showing up and we're gonna have coffee and get to know each other. The whole story spans from probably 2016 to now, which is 2021. Technically, like 10 years ago or so, if you count high school. Not to date myself too terribly there, but high school does count. That's, I guess, where he was first aware of me. So we met at that Starbucks that was across the street from his old place. It was okay. He was nice and quiet. I talked a lot. I always talk a lot. Wonder why I have a podcast. I asked him a lot of things. I remember I had a lot going on at the time. I think we were moving out of where I used to live into a new place, or maybe we didn't know where we were moving at that point in time. So it was all up in the air, and I had all my routines being interrupted. So I was probably internally frazzled because I really like a routine and I don't like to be rushed or anything like that. So I just probably was stuffing down all of these stressors, as most healthy people do, and ignoring them and focusing on somebody else because that's a lot easier. So I was asking David a lot. He didn't really ask me much, though. I do remember that. I do remember it was very friendshipy. He didn't offer to pay or anything. I believe I even went up there for round two to get something. Did I expect him to pay? No. I just like to see how people are when they are meeting a stranger or meeting someone new. I like to pay for people, but then that does change the dynamic, so maybe that's why he didn't want to pay, because he didn't know what kind of thing this was. I definitely didn't think it was a dating thing. I think that somewhere in the back of my mind, that's what I wanted at that time. Not with David, but I think internally somewhere, I did want to be with somebody. I wanted to be a girlfriend and maybe a serious relationship type deal. Now, after all this, I mean, not so much. I'm not entirely sold on that whole idea. But back then, 2020, before the world fell apart, before the pandemic, I was like, I gotta get with somebody, start a life, start a family, my eggs are rotting. So that was more of a subconscious train of thought. It wasn't at the forefront of my mind, which is probably why I had expectations that I felt let down about that I was unaware of. Isn't life lovely? So I had an okay time. It wasn't great. I got bored. After we talked about all our mutual friends or acquaintances, whatever you want to call them, there was a lot of dead air. We just kind of sat there. I left feeling disappointed and empty. I did stay for a while because I'm a woman and we're conditioned to be polite. I was there for a couple hours. It was a considerable amount of time. And I remember that feeling where it's like, oh, I need to eat, but what I've been eating isn't enough food because I was just sitting there snacking, not really talking to this dude that was very nice, just not talkative. So I leave. I'm kind of like, thought that would be more eventful. I delete his number. Why? Because who knows why? Who knows the actual reason? I just remember thinking, I'm not messing with anyone in any kind of relationship, friendship or otherwise, if it doesn't feel purposeful. This kind of felt more of a waste of time than not a waste of time. So I delete David's number. I'm done with it. Pretty soon after that, he texts me. This leads to me having to say, who's this? Because I don't know who it was. Did I have an idea? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe I legitimately forgot and blocked it out of my head. Or maybe I was just being a dick. I don't really know. I used to play games. I still do it. Yes, I'm trying. We all learn, grow, change, etc., etc. He cannot fathom why I've already deleted his number. We just met. He doesn't get it. And I'm like, oh boy. Here we go. He can't make sense of it. I think maybe I hurt his feelings. Who knows? It's texting. How do you convey tone? You don't. You just argue. So I said, look, I didn't want to say the real reason, which I thought he was boring, so I deleted his number. I just said, look, I didn't have a good time. Now he thinks I wanted it to be a hookup. I did not want it to be a hookup. I wanted to be entertained. I just can't call him boring because, well, that's my opinion. One person's boring is another person's thrilling, so I don't want to throw that at him, but I don't want him to think I'm a hookup person. Wow, I've really backed myself into a corner just because I deleted a number. Somehow he convinces me to add his number again, saying something like, well, we just don't know each other. We'll have a good time, whatever. And I probably felt guilty about that whole thing. And so he just keeps insisting that we need to get to know each other. This is a pattern that goes on for not just months, but years. All this communication is texting, mostly, like 95%. Occasionally there will be a phone call, and it's all just stories and friendship-like exchanges, I guess. Goes on forever. I tolerate it. I probably because I like attention. I don't not like him. I'm just not that interested. So he's back in my phone. And then the weird thing is when I do offer to do things, hey, David, you want to go see this new tattoo shop with me? Hey, David, you want to do this? Hey, this, hey, that. He either has work or just outright rejects it. So it's not just work. He's just not engaging in these plans that I'm offering. So I kind of feel odd. He won't leave me alone, yet we never really do stuff. That's something I really don't understand. Especially because you keep circling back, asking me things, texting first, that sort of thing. And I'm just talking about hanging out. I'm not talking about dating, nothing romantic, nothing like that. He just seems nice enough. And I probably didn't like any of my other friends at that time. I go off and on. I'm very fickle. I'm very much like a cat that way. No offense to cats. I've met a few cool ones, but I'm definitely more of a dog person. Now I'm thinking about animals. Where were we? Right. I invited David over to my old house, not once, not twice, but thrice. And each time he was like, yeah, okay, sounds cool, and then wouldn't show up. So now I just feel rejected and weird that I'm a woman and I'm offering for you to come over. How many times do I have to do that for a man? I probably even said, how many times do I have to invite you over for you to actually come? Why do you keep talking to me and then we don't do anything? I don't understand this. So that's kind of a weird ping pong thing for a while. The world falls apart somewhere in there. It's the shelter in place orders of the pandemic, which just kind of led to all of us falling apart. In one way or the other, I'm sure we were messaging off and on during that time. There was even a few occurrences where I was like, look, dude, you're nice. I'm just taking advantage of the attention and I'm trying to be less of a dick these days. So I'm not going to message you anymore. And I knew we weren't going to see each other in person because we hardly ever did. I think maybe a total of 2-3 coffee meetups within the span of a year, and it was never substantial. It was always almost fun. I should have just kept that in the forefront of my mind that, Genevieve, when you hang out with David, it's not that fun. It's just okay, and that's okay, but stop entertaining it. He would circle back with New Girl references. That was probably our only common interest. Like pop culture speaking, we didn't like the same music. We're both Christian, but that's not really an interest. That's like a lifestyle. So we didn't have much in common. We didn't really watch the same shows other than New Girl. So he would make references to that or send me a GIF, and then we would start messaging again. That was kind of our pattern for a long, long time, even though I was like, hey, look, I'm just abusing the attention you give me. I'm trying to be honest, guys. I'm always going to be honest. Probably too much so, but I'd rather be that way than just bullshit. I'm not that. I'd rather hurt you with the truth than comfort you with a lie. But at some point, I kind of feel like maybe we could be friends. He's not a bad guy. He's a nice guy. And he doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Yeah, maybe we could be friends. That's kind of where I'm at. Is that it's a possibility that maybe I'll invest into this. Then it takes a rough turn in my mind because he hit on me. Then he made it worse and it just got disturbing. So I'm going to share that with you now. We're texting late at night. It's probably between 12 and 2. I'm still up. I don't know why. In my head, it's a friendship, so I'm going to respond. I'm awake. I don't mean anything by it, but again, so many communicative problems with texting, you guys. And what do you think? If somebody texts you late at night, I guess you think that they're interested, or maybe in my case, they're just bored. Nevertheless, he texts me about some landmark that's by the new place where he lives. He thinks I might like it. I agree, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome, whatever. And he says something like, do you want to go see it? And I said something like, now or later? Then he said, are you serious? I said, are you? Then I fell asleep. That was it. That's what happened. Not one, but 2 days go by. He brings up this conversation again, says something like, hey, when you said we would have fun at that landmark the other night, what kind of fun did you mean? And I just kind of awkwardly snorted at the screen, and I was like, I'm just probably just typing literally because I was exhausted. I meant nothing by it. I was very clear that I wasn't flirting with him. Mind you, this is 2 days later, so he's thought about this. At first, I make a joke about how I was in his head or how much of an overthinker he is. He keeps going with it. But wait, it gets worse, you guys. It gets worse. What I remember is this part, because the way it was worded just gave me the willies. I did not like it. He said something like, oh, it's been a while since I've had my whistle wet. And I was just like, oh, no, David. No, David, I don't need to hear that from you or anyone. I don't even think I would be flattered if Jason Momoa said, could you wet my whistle? But maybe. That would be disrespectful to his wife. No, just why are you phrasing it like that? Never mind. Never mind the Momoa thing. It's weird. Wet your whistle? No. No. No, David. Ew, David. I immediately get defensive. I'm offended that you hit on me. I thought maybe, just maybe, we could be friends. Now you want me to wet your whistle? Would you like me to assign someone to butter your muffin? I don't want anything to do with that. A few days go by. He brings this landmark up again. He texts me a picture of it with the caption of, wanna meet? I immediately respond with, no, I don't want you to molest me. I felt kind of bad, but I was pissed. I was really, really angry that it was brought up again. So yes, I called him a sexual predator. We argued because he said that he was not a sexual predator. I thought about it and realized he's probably not. That was a little intense. That was kind of mean what I did there. So I apologized. I said I don't really do good with relationships. That's still true. We seemed to talk through it, and I do remember gaining a little respect for him because he said something like, hey, instead of getting really defensive, could you just tell me what you actually mean? Instead of calling me a sexual predator when I'm not one? I say I'll try. Now it's understandable that he's not going to want to hang out with me. He's not taking me up on any, I don't want to say they were pity offers. Maybe I was just trying to gauge the temperature. Because he was still talking to me after this. After I called him a sexual predator and then apologized for it. And he seemed to be good with that and happy that we seemingly got to know each other better through that. I invited him to not just a party, but what I think of as the greatest party ever. It happens once a year. I thought it would be fun if he came with me. I wasn't deeply attached to the idea of bringing someone, so I messaged him maybe like 11 o'clock at night, like the day before. Hey, do you want to come to this party with me? He says he has plans. He's going to a game or something. I'm like, no harm, no foul. Just trying to, you know, be a friend. Right? Not someone who will wet your whistle. He texts me the following night when I was at the party that he had slept all day. So I'm like, what the hell? Did he just lie about these plans and then blow me off? Like, I'm so sick of this seesaw. Like, every time I bring up something, he doesn't do it. I invite him to this party. He tells me he actually has other plans and then he's just sleeping. Like, what is going on? I was so sick of this seesaw. He even offered to get coffee that night and he was like, I'll pay for it, you know? And I'm like, no, look, dude, like, I have to turn in things for school. I'm finishing my master's. I have to write things about Shakespeare. I don't want to get coffee at 11:30 at night with somebody who repetitively pisses me off, even though they're a nice person. I was sick of this seesaw. Somehow he convinces me, okay, we'll meet the next day. Otherwise, we'll never talk again. I'm like, deal. I can work with that. I like things that are definitive. We meet for coffee. We also go to Chipotle because I was hungry. They're right next to each other. Works like a charm. This is 2 years after I met him the first time in person. So quite a bit has passed. I've changed residences. I've gone back to college for not the second, but the third time. Things have shifted. I see him that day. His hair is no longer short. It is long. I like it. He walks in. He has a mask on. Thanks so much, COVID. He looks at me, direct eye contact, and I do have to say this because credit where credit is due. Gorgeous eyes. They're like sea glass. They just pierce you. He looks right at me. I don't know if he's aware of the impact that those eyes have on people, because if he harnessed that, oh boy. He's got the mask on, so my focus is all on those eyes. He leans over and says, did you get a new car? Which I did, because a freaking FedEx driver totaled my old one. Nobody got hurt, thank God. I thought it was so funny the day I got in that car accident because they rammed my front end and pushed me into the other lane, but nobody got hurt, like I said. Then I walk out. I have a disability, you guys. My balance is impacted. It's visible. So I'm walking to whoever picked me up, and I'm wondering if they're watching me, the people that hit me, seeing me kind of wobble around, and I was wondering if they're thinking, oh shit, did we do that to that girl? Terrible palsy jokes. Back to David. So he has these beautiful eyes, and now I'm noticing that, ooh, I kind of have the butterflies. What's going on here? Because before this moment, I wasn't attracted to him. That's weird. I'm like, you know what? It's just the eyes or the long hair, whatever. I wait for that fluttery feeling to go away because it doesn't last with me. I don't think it ever really has. With Jason Momoa, sure, for the second time in this podcast that hasn't even been a half hour long, I mentioned him. But it's like a fantasy. It's nothing that is real. It doesn't really happen to me in real life. And if it does, it doesn't stick. It fades. So I'm waiting for that feeling to fade. I'm having a good time with him. We're actually having a good conversation. We're vibing. It's not dead air. It's not awkward. He's kind of funny. I don't remember him being kind of funny. 2 years later, turns out David picked up some humor. I like it. We end up at Chipotle. We're sitting outside. We developed this weird inside joke about orange juice. It's not that funny to explain it. It sounds kind of dumb, but it was funny that day. I'll be referring to that day, the one and only day, on record that I had fun with David as OJ Day. So we have this joke about orange juice, we're vibing, we're clicking. It's nice. We're 4 hours in to this day and I'm not bored. I even run into some people I know. He socializes well with them. I'm like, good, he's not awkward. That day, you guys, he was not awkward. I even hug him goodbye. He's tall. He's got nice shoulders. He has to bend down to hug me. I really like that. I'm like, uh-oh. What are these feelings? I don't feel things. What are these? Doesn't matter, you guys. Why? Because I called him a sexual predator. I can't hit on him now because I'll probably be considered a sexual predator. So before it even starts, I've ruined it. I tell my closest friend. She, of course, tells me, don't you even. Don't make any moves. It's just the long hair. You love playing games. Is she right? Absolutely. I tell my hairstylist, the keeper of all my secrets. I even tell her I called him a sexual predator. She says, don't worry, you can come back from that. I was like, oh, I don't think I can. And she's like, no, you can't. I decide to ask him out because I can tell he's not the type to take initiative, go for it, be bold. Also, I feel like it's kind of up to me because of my initial reaction when he hit on me, so he's probably terrified. I message him something like, I don't like ill-defined relationships of any kind. Still true. I like to know exactly what they are. I don't like things to be ambiguous. I ask him out. I say, do you want to go on a date? He says, I'm down. I say, great. You plan the first, I'll plan the second.